Our help and our expectation is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, which keepeth truth forever, and who never forsakes the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you in peace, from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen.
Congregation, we will continue this evening's worship service with the singing of Psalter 417, the first stanza. Send forth, O Lord, of my salvation, thy light and truth to be my guide. O let thy rays in my privation lead me unto thy habitation, where beneath thy wing I'll be supplied, with grace thou wilt provide. Psalter 417. The first stanza. Scripture reading for this evening you can find in the book of Psalms, Psalm 62. He mentioned to you Psalm 62. But before we will read the 12 articles of our undoubted Catholic Christian faith, I believe in God the Father, Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We mentioned to you Psalm 62, to the chief musician, to Jeduthun, a psalm of David. Truly, my soul waiteth upon God. From him cometh my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. How long will ye imagine mischief against a man? Ye shall be slain, all of you. As a bowing wall shall ye be, and as a tottering fence. They only consult to cast him down from his excellency. They delight in lies. They bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly. Selah. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Trust in him at all times. Ye people, pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us, Selah. Surely men of low degree are vanity, and men of high degree are a lie. To be laid in the balance, they are altogether lighter than vanity. Trust not in oppression, and become not vain in robbery. If riches increase, set not your heart upon them. God hath spoken once, twice have I heard this, that power belongeth unto God. Also unto thee, O Lord, belongeth mercy, for thou renderest to every man according to his work. Thus far.
Congregation, let us ask for the Lord's blessing and his presence. Let us pray together. Merciful, gracious, only true Lord God of the heavens and of the earth, thou who art that rock, thou who art that place of refuge, thou who art the strength of poor, wretched, guilty sinners. And Lord, in this evening hour, in the middle of this week, in thy long-suffering patience, goodness, and mercy, we may have a little time to set aside, to come into thy house, to separate ourselves from all other cares for a moment, and to listen to thy precious word. Lord, we beg and pray thee as we have gathered together that thou would be among us with the blessed work of thy Holy Spirit, that thou would come and renew hearts that are yet dead, take away hearts of stone and give hearts of flesh, and remember also all those whom thou hast made alive, whom thou in thy free and sovereign grace has sought, has found, and has given life. And Lord, thou knowest how we all have come into thy house, how it is in our hearts, each one of us, in this week of self-examination, in the preparation for the celebration of the Lord's Supper, the Lord willing, this coming Lord's Day. Lord, thou knowest those poor and wretched, guilty sinners with so many questions and riddles. Do I have the grace of God or not? Am I one of his dear beloved sheep? Do I belong to him? Do I know those true marks of misery, deliverance, and gratitude? Has the Lord begun in my heart and in my soul, or is it all of self? Is it true saving faith, or is it only temporary faith? Is it only historical faith? Lord, thou knowest those poor beggars, those poor and needy sinners who long to hear from thy word, long to hear their hearts described and explained of what that thou wilt do in the heart of a sinner by thy grace. Oh, may we ask thee then tonight that through the proclamation of thy precious word and by the power of the Holy Spirit, that poor and needy sinners may be comforted with thyself, by thy word, and by thy spirit. But Lord, we beg thee also that thou would give that we may proclaim of that only rock, of that precious Savior, that only place of rest for guilty, polluted, wretched sinners. Oh, there are also those poor, needy sinners that come hungering, thirsting, longing the living God to see, longing for a little token from above, a little smile, a little token of thy favor, a little something of sweet communion. O Lord, wilt thou then come among us tonight and visit us through the merits of thy dear Son? Lord, may we together confess unto thee we are sinful. We are born dead in sins and trespasses, and by nature have no desire for thee, no longing to truly worship thee, no hunger, no thirst, no fleeing from the world, no true repentance, no seeking for a shelter, no need for a rock. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, give life and lead to an end in everything, that everything becomes hopeless, that sinners become poor and needy sinners, brokenhearted, bankrupt, lost, guilty, ungodly in thy sight, and that thou would reveal unto them that precious Savior of sinners, of him of whom we read in thy word that is that rock, of we read of that precious name, the Lord our righteousness. O thou knowest those among us hungering and thirsting for righteousness. O may they be led unto him, and may they hear him speaking, thy righteousness is of me. O wilt thou give true repentance, but also true saving faith, and give that faith may be an exercise by the power of the Holy Spirit, that we may be given to look outside of ourselves unto him. Oh, may it be tonight that there may be those that come to truly rest upon him and know that true peace that no man can give, that they cannot find in themselves anymore, but that peace that can be found in thee through thy Son by the application of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we beg thee, pass us not by. Give the unction of the Holy Spirit to preach, but also to listen. Give hearing ears, attentive hearts, enlightened minds to the truth. Lord, may we beg thee and pray thee, search us and try us, and see if there be any wicked way in us, and lead us in that way of everlasting life. O Lord, we beg thee then, our hearts are desperately wicked and deceitful above all things, but thou art that God of truth, thou changest not, thy word is truth, because thou art truth, we can trust thee and thy word. O may we be given then to lay our hearts next to thy word, and that thou would teach us and lead us and guide us. O give that thy people may lose and decrease in self, but that they may increase in thee, that they may grow in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, that they may produce more fruit for the honor, for the glory of thy name, that there would be more hatred for sin, more fleeing from all worldliness, and to live separate, to be in the world but not of the world. Oh, that thy people may be looking for that city to come. Oh, that they may be made pilgrims, kept pilgrims, and longing for that day that thou would return, or that they may be delivered free from sin, free from flesh, no more doubts, no more grieving thee, but able to eternally be with thee and to praise thee. Oh, we beg thee then, Lord, bless thy word for the glory of thy name, for the salvation of sinners, and for the edification of thy dear people. Lord, help all thy servants throughout the entire world. Oh, give faithfulness to preach the full counsel of God, to preach according to the meaning of the Spirit, to not fear men, and to not desire the praise of men, but that we may proclaim, thus saith the Lord, that we may be a mouthpiece for thee, crying in the wilderness, and that thou would bless it. And Lord, thou hast promised that thy word will never return unto thee void. It will accomplish its purpose. Oh, may it be to the saving of our souls and the souls of our dear children of the congregation. Lord, bless thy word wherever it may be proclaimed among Jew and Gentile. May thy kingdom come. Lord, we beg thee, have mercy. Thou could righteously leave us all to our sin and guilt and iniquity. But we beg thee for thy name's sake, as thou hast said in thy word, not for thy name's sake, but for my name's sake. Lord, we pray, remember all the mourning ones. Comfort them, all the sick and afflicted. Thou knowest all the cares and the needs in the congregation, but also with many relatives, many with serious diseases and sicknesses, cares for the body, cares for the mind. Remember widows, widowers, those who have lost children, the lonely. Lord, remember each one. Oh, we beg thee, Lord, that thou would give us then an hour tonight in thy house, under thy favor, and that we may be able to go home and say it was good to be here because the Lord was among us. Lord, there's no reason in us. We have nothing to plead upon. We can only lay before thee all our sins, sins of original sin, our actual sins, all the sins of our heart, motives, desires, affections of our will. Lord, have mercy, and may we be given to plead upon him who sits at thy right hand, upon his blood. Oh, that precious blood that he has given to be the nourishment of the souls of poor and needy sinners, and of his body that he has given to be broken, that he has given everything for a people who have nothing. Lord, remember thus then in thy mercy, give much prayer, give opening to preach, and give a blessing upon it. O Lord, that thy name may be honored and glorified, and that sinners may be born again, and that thy people may be led, drawn to that only resting place upon that rock of ages. And so we beg, Lord, for Jesus' sake alone. Amen. Congregation, let us continue this evening's worship service with singing them from Psalter 161, the first five stanzas, and also number 8. My soul in silence waits for God, my Savior, he has proved. He only is my rock and tower, I never shall be moved. 161, the first five, and also number 8. And the collection for this evening is for the Rehoboth Christian School Contribution Fund. May the Lord bless you and your gifts. Dear congregation, we're all traveling to a never-ending eternity. We were all going to die unless the Lord Jesus Christ returns. We read in the Word of God that the wages of sin is death, and we have sinned, and we are worthy of death. But may I ask you a question? What are you building your hope upon for eternity? What is your hope when you consider that you need to meet God? What is your foundation? If your foundation is anything beside the only one foundation, Jesus Christ, then you will utterly perish. But if, by God's free and sovereign grace, you have been made alive, drawn, led, and you're upon that only foundation, Jesus Christ, then you shall be saved. Psalm 62 is a psalm of David. And we hear in this psalm David's hope for eternity, David's foundation. For example, we read in verse 7, "In God is my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength, and my refuge is in God." David's foundation is God. David's foundation is the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, he could say, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Congregation, the only foundation is Jesus Christ. We read that so clearly in 1 Corinthians 3, verse 11. "For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ." God, Jesus Christ, is the foundation. And God the Father gave him as the foundation. Open your Bible to Isaiah 28, verse 16, where we read about God and the foundation. Isaiah 28, verse 16. "Therefore thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste." Now what does that last part mean? Literally, when you translate it and when you compare it with other verses in the Bible, it means shall not be ashamed. That's what it means. He that believeth shall not be ashamed. He that is on that sure foundation. Congregation, are you on that only true, tried, firmed, giving foundation? I'd like to ask your attention to the words of the Lord Jesus Christ from Matthew 7, verse 24 through 27. Matthew 7, verse 24 through 27 is what we will meditate upon tonight with the Lord's help. "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." So far with God's word. The theme is Jesus Christ, the only firm foundation. Jesus Christ, the only firm foundation. Three thoughts. First, the wise builder. As we see in verse 24, what is a wise builder? Who is a wise builder? Why is he called wise? How do we know if we are one of the wise builders, if we're on the rock? So the wise builder. The second is the foolish builder. We see this in verse 26. What is a foolish builder? Who is he? How can we know if we are only still just a foolish builder? And then the last thought, a storm and the outcome. Read this in verse 25 and 27. There's going to come a storm, and then the difference is going to be clear. Whether wise or foolish, on the rock or on the sand. And so with the Lord's help, Jesus Christ, the only firm foundation, the wise builder, the foolish builder, a storm, and the outcome. And so our first thought, the wise builder. We read in verse 24, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine. This verse begins, therefore, whosoever. This connects with the warning that the Lord Jesus has given in the previous verses. For example, as we considered on the last Lord's Day. Verse 21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. So it connects to that warning, but it connects to the whole sermon. It's a summary, a conclusion of the whole Sermon on the Mount. How do we know if we're doing God's will? How do we know if we're on the right foundation? How do we know if we will not hear on that great day, depart from me, ye that work iniquity? How will we know? We will know by what the Lord Jesus said at the end of verse 21, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. And then the Lord Jesus Christ continues with a parable. He gives a parable of two builders, explaining what it is to do the will of the Father. He explains what it is to be on the only firm foundation. Are you wondering in the middle of this week, on what foundation are you on? Listen to the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, verse 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. So the Lord Jesus Christ speaks about a wise builder. He calls these people, certain people, wise. What is it to be wise? You say, well, that's to be intelligent. Is that all it is? Because intelligent people may still do really foolish things. It's more. To be wise is to hear and do, and there's an application in your life. In this parable, the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking about real wisdom, is that you hear his words and obey. A hearer and a doer. We will also read some verses in connection from Luke. So turn to your Bible in Luke chapter 6, and now we will read verse 46 and 47. Luke 6, verse 46 and 47. Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. And we read, and doeth them. I will liken him unto a wise man, as we read in Matthew 7, verse 24. So why does the Lord Jesus Christ call certain people wise? A wise man. Well, he's clear. The wise thing to do is to hear, to listen, to take heed, to surrender to the truth, and to obey. To know the truth, and to hear, and to do. For example, a little example. If we hear from a very reliable source that we should eat, for example, oranges. If the foolish thing to do, then would to be just ignore it and not to eat what should be for your health. To wise would be to take heed. So the wise hear. They understand. They receive it. And they become doers. The Lord Jesus Christ is saying The wise person doesn't only hear. There are a multitude of people that hear. But he says, those that do not only hear, but take it seriously. They become doers. They take it to the heart. He behaves himself, his life, the word has an effect in his life, in his heart. Listen to what James speaks about a hearer and a doer. James 1 verse 22, but be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. So we read, the Lord Jesus Christ says, heareth these sayings of mine. What sayings? Jesus Christ is referring to what he has been preaching about in the Sermon on the Mount. And we read what he said in John 13, verse 17. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. So a wise man will hear the words of the Almighty God, the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. He will believe them. He will surrender to them. He will embrace them. He will eat them with his whole heart, and he will live by them. By grace, by God's grace, a sinner hears and he becomes a doer. Hearing results in effect in not the head only, but in the heart, in the life of a sinner. The Lord Jesus Christ is not saying that by deeds and by actions a sinner receives salvation. He's not. On the contrary, he is saying, the Lord Jesus Christ is saying that if you are a hearer by God's grace and a doer, it proves who you are. If all you are is a hearer, you are graceless. But if you're a hearer by God's grace and a doer, then you are one of his dear people. Now, who will be a hearer and a doer? Who will? By nature, we hear it. We might even agree with it. We might even say that's truth. But then we leave and we continue on. We resist. We continue with our hard hearts. We absolutely refuse with the will and the being to surrender our will completely to his will. Our hearts are dead. Dead in sins and trespasses. The words, so to speak, go in one ear and go out the other ear. Or we might confess something with our mouth that our heart doesn't even agree with. So by nature, we may be hearers, but not doers. And that's our guilt, congregation. That's guilt. It's our guilt that we are just only hearers and not doers. But the other side is 100% completely all the glory to God. How will a sinner, a boy, a girl, an adult, how will one be a hearer, hear, and become a doer? Open your Bible to 1 Thessalonians 1 verse 5. There we have the answer of one who becomes truly wise, a hearer and a doer. 1 Thessalonians 1 verse 5. And Paul is speaking to the church in Thessalonica. For our gospel came not unto you in word only. So he's saying, you did not only hear it, but there's more, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost. There's the answer. By the irresistible power of the Holy Spirit, sinners are not only hearers, but they become doers. They become wise. They're made wise. Ask them. Any credit to them? No, it's all the credit to the Almighty God. And my prayer is that in Cortland, or whoever you are, or listening along, that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you're not just a hearer, that you become a doer. So the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking about a wise man, someone who hears what the Lord Jesus Christ speaks, and shows that he's a doer by his life. It's not just with the mouth, it's with the heart and with his life. What is this man? What is this man that we read in verse 24? Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. So the Lord Jesus Christ gives an illustration that everyone can relate to. What is that? About building something. To build something, to have it strong and sturdy, to last, it needs to be on a firm foundation. It needs to be on a good, solid foundation. And so to do this, the person had to dig deep. He had to go to the rock layer. Why? Remember, the Jews are listening. What happened in that time in Israel? For 6 months there was rain, and for 6 months it was dry. And so that sandy soil in the dry months could become so hard. It looked like a good foundation. But then the rains came and it eroded. And a wise builder knew he could not just build his house on that hard, sandy soil, although it looked good. He knew he had to dig deep. He had to go to the rock. He knew storms would come. Rains would come. We read in Luke 6, verse 48, he is like a man which built an house and dig deep and laid the foundation on a rock. A wise man would not build just on that hard, sandy, baked soil. He would dig deep. He took hard work. He took time. He was wise. He was thorough because he knew storms were going to come. He knew if he did not do this, his house would eventually be absolutely destroyed by a storm or by rains. The Lord Jesus Christ is saying to us this evening, a real wise person dig deep. He goes deep. He goes to the rock. He goes to that only Savior, Jesus Christ. He has no rest until he may rest, as we read in Psalm 62, until he may know and he may say with a good conscience in his heart, he is my rock, he is my strength. Until he may know on good grounds that he is on that only rock. It's interesting to note that both builders are building a house. But what's the difference? What's the difference? Passing by those houses, you possibly absolutely couldn't see one little bit of difference. Maybe the foolish builder, he quickly built this house. Maybe the level a little bit, he built this house and he looks at the wise builder. And the wise builder maybe saw him finish his house and he was still digging deep down to the rock. Possibly the foolish man is resting in his house on the sand while the other wise man is still building. But that wise man knows he has no rest until he is on the rock. The Lord Jesus is giving an illustration of what? Of what it is to be a hearer and a doer. The person hears. He hears the truth. And he will not settle for anything less than the absolute truth of what God says is the only way of salvation for absolutely wretched sinners. Oh, we tried to find so many different shelters and resting places. But these Spirit-taught people, they might rest there for a while, but the Lord flushes them out. He destroys it, and he shows them and teaches you need to be on one place, one foundation. They become hearers and doers by God's grace. They take the truth of God's word to heart seriously. They don't ignore any truth. They believe it all. What? Who God is, who they are, who the Lord Jesus Christ, and that only way of salvation. They don't spare anything because they know soul lost, it will be absolutely eternally lost. They're born again by God's grace, made wise. Who are they? They believe the truth. They hear the truth of God's word. They hear the truth of sin. And they don't begin to excuse themselves and say, that's not sin. No, they say it's sin. The Lord says it's sin. Whatever it says in his word. And they say, amen. It's truth. They hear that God is holy and just and will by no means clear the guilty. And they say, truth. They hear that they are worthy of absolute eternal condemnation because I'm sin and I remain sin and I'm just all sin. They say, amen. They're like that Syrophoenician woman. Remember? She came to the Lord Jesus Christ, help. And I say to my own words, my daughter. And three times the Lord Jesus Christ, first he ignores her, and then he said it's not for her. And what did she do? Did she leave? When he said, it's not meet for me to take the bread of the children and give it to dogs, what did she say? Truth, Lord. That's them. That's the wise builder. They surrender to the word of God, of who they are, of who he is. And yet they cling to him. They cling to him because they know without him they are absolutely lost, like that woman. Truth, Lord. Yet the dog. The dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. Are there just dogs this week? Truth, Lord, I'm just sin. I'm sin. And thou art right and just to just pass me by. I could be righteously condemned eternally, and I just have to say, truth, Lord. Yet, Lord, a little crumb. A little crumb for this dog. Is that you? That's the wise builder. No resting in absolutely anything. They hear they need to be righteous. Because God is righteous. But how to be righteous? They hunger and thirst for righteousness. And what did they find? Do they begin to see, I'm a little bit more righteous, a little bit more righteous? No, what do they see? Everything is absolutely just filthy rags. It's all polluted. Is that what you see this week? Is that what you see? They hear the truth of what the Lord Jesus Christ said in the Sermon on the Mount. Except your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the Pharisees, ye shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of heaven. And they say, truth, Lord. And I'm just unrighteous. And I need to be righteous. What do they beg? Lord, cover me. Cover me with that righteousness. They don't rest except on the rock, on him. They hear the only way to be reconciled with God, and they learn it's everything dead in self. It all becomes blocked. Dead end ways. No way back to God. No way to receive his favor. And then he reveals a way, a given way, through the rock, through his son, through that mediator. And they begin to seek him. They begin to long for him. They begin to wait upon him. They want to rest on him and him only. No, they cannot rest on anything else. No sand. They go to the rock. Only the rock. They hear the only way to be saved is as an ungodly sinner by faith in that precious Savior, Jesus Christ. And that becomes such a wonder because faith, they don't have that either. They don't come in the middle of week of self-examination and they can present to the Lord, look at my great faith. It's all polluted. It's all so filled with unbelief, wretchedness. But they hear and know that precious gift is also from the rock. Faith is a gift of God. And so they cry to him for faith. They cry to him for absolutely everything. That is the wise builder. They know there's only one foundation that God can receive them back as a son, as a daughter. And that is only through that precious Savior, Jesus Christ, and him crucified. They begin to trust no more in self. They begin to trust only in that rock, the Lord Jesus Christ. They begin to wait upon him. They begin to look for him with longing. When will he come again? They're like that poet in Psalm 62. Truly my soul waiteth upon God. From him cometh my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved upon that rock. A wise man, one who is made wise by God's free and sovereign grace, learns there's only one place. That's the children of God. Only one place that he can smile, that he can visit them, that he can feed them, that he can comfort them, that he can give them something to comfort their souls, that they cannot find comfort in absolutely anything else. And it's only in that precious Savior Jesus Christ, the rock. And so they are also like the psalmist in 61, and they cry, Lord, lead me to the rock that is higher than I, because they cannot bring themselves. But they cry to him, congregation, what are you building your hope upon? What is your foundation in this week? Salvation is only in Jesus Christ and in him crucified. Everything, absolutely everything else is quicksand. For example, your baptism, your prayers, your devotion, your zeal, your traditions of men, your very conservative lifestyle will not stand in that day of the storm. There's only one thing. And what a painful lesson to lose everything. To lose everything, to be brought to that rock. Only him, a hearer and a doer. He repents. He confesses. He loses everything. He becomes unrighteous. He becomes lost. And he begins to seek, longing for an only Savior. And he begins with his whole desire to obey him, to do the will because of love for him. And they take refuge again and again in that only Savior. He becomes a follower of him and desire to keep his commandments. A true Christian is a doer and a hearer. A hearer and a doer. Here he is, a wise builder digging deep down unto the rock. Is that you, my friend? No rest in anything. Storms blowing. Satan attacking. Heart accusing. No place of rest I find. But is he? Is it only Savior? Are you looking to him? Longing for him. Longing for him and only him. He is the rock. And that rock is Christ, as we read in 1 Corinthians 10 verse 4. So the Lord Jesus Christ is saying, a wise builder is made wide by grace, and he will find no rest outside of self. How do I know? How do I know? They long for forgiveness, but that's together with sanctification, justification, and sanctification. They want their sins forgiven, that the Lord can look upon them in favor. And at the same time, there's a longing for holiness. If there is only a longing to be escaped from the just punishment and no desire for holiness, you may put a question mark behind it. That is not a wise builder. The Lord Jesus Christ said in John 14, verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. They begin to love him because love is poured in their hearts. No, he doesn't say, then you will perfectly keep my commandments. Oh, they sin against all the commandments, so many ways, but they have love for him. And they have love for the commandments, all the commandments, and they're seeking, longing, hoping in that rock, the Lord Jesus Christ. Is this your heart? Is this your life? Then I may say from God's word, then you are truly wise, made wise by God's free and sovereign grace. And that faithful, almighty God that began in you, he will never let you go. He will keep you. He loved you from eternity. He found you in time and mercy and grace. And he will hold on to you. And he will bring you home. It's all a free and sovereign grace. All of his love. And because his mercy faileth never. Let's sing. from Psalter 378, stanzas 1 and 3. 378, stanzas 1 and 3. Give thanks to God, for good is he. His grace abideth ever. To him all praise and glory be. His mercy faileth never. His wondrous works with praise record. His grace abideth ever. The only God, the sovereign Lord, whose mercy faileth never. 378, stanzas 1 and 3. Jesus Christ, the only firm foundation. We heard a little something of the wise builder. Is that you? But now we hear also in our second thought of a completely different builder, the foolish builder. Why does the Lord Jesus Christ call him foolish? Is that still you? He speaks about a foolish builder in verse 26. Matthew 7, verse 26, "And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon sand." So the Lord Jesus Christ says, those that hear and do not do are foolish. He pictures them as one building a house on sand. Children, would you build something on sand? You say, no, you can't build something on sand. A strong rain like we had yesterday, and it's all washed away. And maybe we're thinking, what fools? Why would someone be absolutely so foolish to build a house on sand that's just going to erode away? Apparently in Israel there probably was some of those. But today also, there are many. There are many building on sandy foundations, spiritually building on foolish foundations, hopeless foundations. These builders wanted a quick shelter, a quick place of rest, happy that it's finished quickly. They don't dig deep. They're finished. They have a house. They're happy. And outwardly, when you passed these two houses on the rock and on the sand, you wouldn't see the difference. Maybe at a time, the earth shifted a little bit and there were some cracks on that house of the foolish builder, but he put some plaster, he put some paint, and you absolutely could not see the difference. Could you see the difference if you're one of the disciples between Peter and Judas? They couldn't see the difference. They couldn't see in the depth of the heart that Peter was building on the rock and Judas was only on the sand. And remember, the Lord Jesus Christ is not preaching to those who have never heard the word. He's preaching to those who have heard the word. Hearers, doers. He's preaching to those who go to church. He's preaching to those who have heard the law and the gospel. They heard the word of God. Maybe they even said, that's the truth. But they never became doers. They did not obey. The Lord Jesus calls them absolute foolish. We read in Proverbs 1 verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. The mark and characteristic of a foolish builder is they hear, but they do not take it to heart. They do not take it seriously. They even agree with the truth. They say, we're going to die. I'm going to meet a holy God. But they continue with their life. That's just absolute foolishness. And they're so comfortable. Absolute foolish. Is that still you? I pray tonight you would be awakened. Awakened. Knowing the truth isn't enough. Confessing the truth isn't enough. No, you need to be made wise. You need to become a doer. You need to repent. You need to confess. You need to be brought to that rock. You need to be brought to that only Savior. Or my friend, you are utterly lost. But foolish builders, they resist everything. They resist. They would rather have a superficial hope than a real hope. They don't want digging deep. They don't want uncovering grace. No, they resist it. They don't want to go deep. They don't want to see all their abominations. They don't want to see all their sin. They don't like self-examination. They don't cry, Lord, search me, try me, and see if there be any wicked way in me. And lead me in that way of everlasting life. They have no need for the rock. They think they're wise and they're absolutely foolish. And maybe they see those other ones trembling, crawling, weeping, trembling, speaking of all their wretchedness. And maybe they even speak about them with disdain. Why? Why so much trouble? Listen, you're a sinner. There's a Savior. Just believe and it will be well. You can tell those wise builder 1,000 times even the truth of those things. But they have no rest. But the foolish one, he can fool himself with just a mathematical faith and nothing more. So foolish. All on sand. And they don't care. They don't care for Almighty God. They don't love him in his heart. They don't love his will. They don't love his commandments. They don't need him. They don't need a way of reconciliation. They just want some benefits to make this life better. Nothing more. They don't dig deep. Their hearts are not cut to the heart. It's not broken up. They don't really, truly become absolutely lost. And so not lost, no need for the rock. Wise builders dig deep. What does this imply? What is digging deep? That is rejecting all my own righteousness as nothing but filthy rags. as any foundation of salvation, no matter what it is, and needing, seeking, hungering, and thirsting for that only righteousness, which is Jesus Christ. What does it imply? It applies to dying to self, losing everything in self to find everything in another, in that only Savior. It implies crucifying the flesh. Oh, they have that cry, those that dig deep, because they see it. They see it as Paul in Romans 7, O wretched man that I am. And they long for that Savior, the Savior. And why do they do this? Why do they fight the good fight of faith? Why do they want to kill sin? Because there's love, and they begin to hate sin, and they long. There's a longing. They don't only need a Savior. They need a Savior that brings them back to God, to the heart of God. There you have it. There's the wise. That's the essential difference. Back to God. A foolish builder, who is he like? He's like a duck. A duck can be in the water. A duck can be diving in the water. A duck can be swimming in water. He can be absolutely surrounded completely with water. But he comes out of the water, he shakes, and all rolls off. In the truth, hearing the truth, but not a doer. What a foolish builder. And they have a hope. Because how could you live without a hope? Ask them. They have a hope. They have a hope that's on a sandy ground. They have a hope on something of who they yet are. I'm so. I'm not completely lost, maybe. I'm not completely guilty, wretched. I'm not really good, but my hope is I'm so. Maybe the Lord at the end will still have mercy upon me that maybe tried to live a good conservative life. But outside of Christ, my friend, it's all sand. You will be lost. Or maybe they've been helped once, sick. And they put all their foundation because the Lord was good to such a person. And their whole, it's all miraculous faith, but no need for reconciliation. Or resting on historical truths and nothing more. Never trembling, never lost, never needing a Savior. And maybe impressed hearing the sermons. Many people were impressed with the Lord Jesus Christ. We hear this at the end of the Sermon on the Mount. The people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribe. But many of them were hearers and not doers. The foolish builder's heart is like that soil where the seed was sown, a hearer but not a doer. No fruit. No fruit that we heard last week Sunday. No true saving faith in that precious Savior. No godly sorrow. No filial fear. No awe. No love. No repentance. No depth. Not lost in self. And no need for the rock. And that a storm's going to come. We come to our last thought. A storm comes. Who are you? A wise builder? Or foolish, wise by God's grace, or by your own hardening of your heart, still a foolish builder. A storm comes. Imagine these two people. Let's just keep it to two builders. The wise builder and the foolish builder. Two houses that look the same. A storm comes. Maybe they went in their houses for refuge. They knew they needed refuge from a storm. They appeared the same. Maybe built even side by side. Same church, listening to the same songs, listening to the same word, listening to the same sermons. But what a great difference in the heart between these two. One on the rock and one on the sand. Completely different by God's grace and remaining the same by guilt. No eye can see it, but God sees it. And then comes a storm. Look in your Bible, Matthew 7, verse 25. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. So what happened to the wise builder that was upon the rock? It was a vehement storm, a terrible storm, we read in Luke 6. It stood.
Why? Because it was on the rock. God's grace, a sinner on the rock, all the storms can blow and howl, but they will be saved because they're on the rock. Because they're on Him. They're resting only on Him and what He has done for them. He has done everything for them. Satisfied the justice of God. All the wrath was poured upon Him. So those that are on the rock will be safe eternally. But now let's look at that other house. Verse 27. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell. And more. And great was the fall of it. It fell. Absolutely, completely destroyed. Lost. Perished. Because he was not on the rock. He wasn't on the rock. Congregation, there's a storm coming. No, not in weather. God is going to turn again upon this earth. The Lord Jesus returned. He's going to come in the day of his wrath, taking vengeance, flaming fire upon whom? Upon all those that obey not the gospel. Those that are resting of any kind of hope and dying only upon the sand. But he's coming. He's coming again. And he's going to rescue. He's going to deliver. All those whom he taught by his Holy Spirit, made wise, drew to the rock. All that have that faith in that precious Savior. My friend, let's go back to the beginning again. What's your hope? You have a hope. No one can live without hope. What's your hope? Is it a hope on the rock? Is your hope on that only foundation? Or is it on absolutely anything else but the rock? My friend, if your hope is on anything but the rock, you will perish when he returns. And those that are not on the rock, no, I did not say they know they're on the rock, that they can say that he is my Savior, but they're looking, they're longing, their only trust to ever meet God as an ungodly sinner is by the rock. If you know nothing, no need for this rock, please don't come and sit at this table. Don't. What must you do? You need to become a hearer and a doer. What do you need by God's grace? And he can give it that you would cry to him. Repent. Confess your sin. Flee from everything. Pour it all out unto him and beg that Savior for grace for the chiefest of sinners to give life. There is no other foundation. But if you, by God's grace, have heard a little description of that heart of the wise builder, and your heart just wants to give honor and glory to him because he did it for you. Nothing of self. It wasn't anything of you. Nothing of your wise decisions. No, of yourself. You would have just carried on and went lost, forever perished. But he found you. You want to sing to him for his grace, for his glory, because it's all of him. Nothing of self. And if you are a wise builder, according to the word of God and what one truly is, longing, seeking, hungering, nothing in self anymore, longing for reconciliation with the holy and just God, and your only hope is in Him, that's the life of grace. That's where the Lord leads His people. Psalm 62, verse 7. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Trust in him at all times. Ye people, pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Do you know that? That's a blessed people. They have a blessed future. The Lord Jesus Christ said in Luke 22, 29 and 30, and I point unto you a kingdom, as my Father hath appointed unto me, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom. But that's the future. And yet on this earth, he invites those that are made wise, that are only resting and looking and hoping, only in the rock as a lost, wretched sinner, to come and to sit at another table. Why? Because he has a desire to have communion with them, and he has a desire to comfort them and to feed their souls. You may come, sheep, lambs, recipients of grace, in the midst of death. You heard what that was last week. Looking to him, surrendering to him as Lord and Savior. Isaiah 28, verse 16. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. He shall not be ashamed. Amen. Let's close in prayer. Almighty, eternal Lord God of the heavens and of the earth, in thee in whom there is complete salvation for complete lost sinners, for rebels, for foolish ones, for wicked ones, for those who heard but only of themselves, will never ever become a doer. But by thy grace, thou hast sought them, thou hast found them, made alive, taught in the school of grace, convicted and convinced of sin, and they see how great their sins and miseries are, and they long for one to be delivered, to be able to be reconciled unto thee, and thou hast revealed that only way unto them through thy dear Son, that only meteor, that rock, that thy word testifies as that only firm foundation, that only way back to thee. And oh, they will also long when they taste of thy mercies to live unto thee. Lord, remember us, search us, try us, and see if there be any wicked way in us, and lead us in the way of everlasting life. Oh, may thy word have been a comfort to thy true and tried people. Oh, may they have heard their hearts explained by thee, by thy word, and that they may go home brokenhearted, glorifying thee. We ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let us close with singing from Psalter 190, stanzas 1, 2, and 4. In thee, O Lord, I put my trust. Shame let me never be. O save me in thy righteousness. Give ear and rescue me. Give ear and rescue me. 190, 1, 2, and 4.
your congregation to receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the comforting communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.